Forever Dog.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. My oh my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
And girlfriend, you are someone.
And I would tell a girlfriend you are so on.
Girlfriend, you are so
and
on.
And I would tell a girlfriend you are so on. My first call would be to
New Zealand.
To the Prime Minister of New Zealand.
And I would tell a girlfriend you are so on.
She's out of a fucking Tennessee Williams play. It's Missy Pyle doing a Tennessee Williams character.
It's a gift to Cecily Strong.
It's a gift to Cecily Strong. It is Mary Ann. It is Kathy Ann. It's
well, I'm upset because I actually did that bit a lot on stage in 2013. I was doing Marianne Williamson all around town. You could
you
see
were.
Me at the pit. I was doing Marianne Williamson down.
Down, honey.
I created Marianne Williamson. I am Marianne you Williamson. I was the first Marianne Williamson, and I'll be the last. I'll be the first Marianne Williamson president, and if you tell me no, I'll say girlfriend, you are so alone.
And Marianne Williamson, if you're listening.
Oh, if you're Donald Trump, if you're listening. Can you even believe the vixen, honey?
The vixen. And
the vixen thought she was the vixen.
Honestly, now all of this backlash is coming out, like, oh, she's an anti-vaxxer, which is not totally true. She's just like new agey enough to where she called it Orwellian and draconian.
Thank
and she
you
was
for
like,
saying that it's not necessarily true, because it's not necessarily
it's
true.
It's not necessarily true. She's just one of those people who's like, why the pharmaceutical industry is throwing pills at you every day for stuff that you don't need pills for. She's one of those people, which is still problematic, but whatever. And then her whole like AIDS thing during the 90s where she said allegedly said that gay men get AIDS from hating themselves or whatever. But like that like is dissonant with this whole thing that apparently she started some like AIDS support thing in 89 or something. Like, there's so much misinformation out there.
You clearly have the fucking bibliography on her. Because I just know that she said some kooky dooky stuff.
I went down this rabbit hole because people are... There is some kind of, like, telephone game kind of thing that's going on because... And honestly, let's say that she is homophobic, an ex-homophobe, and she is this fucking anti-vaxxer. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'm saying who fucking cares because she's just a fun Anita Bryant. She's a fun bigot in that case. Anita Bryant was like, it's like if Anita Bryant shilled for mimosas instead of orange juice. It's like, it's so fun. She's your drunk. She's a wine mom who's running for president. She's into crystals and sage and shit. And I love it.
We're net positive on Marianne Williamson.
I think it's
I'd say it's a gift to us all. It's the new Adele Dazeem is 100% Marianne Williamson. Girlfriend, you are so on. And when she turned to the camera and said, I'll fight with love. And Donald Trump, I'll see you on the field.
I will meet you on that field. And love will win.
And love will win. I was like, okay, we need to see her for at least two more debates.
I need her.
Get rid of, God, Tim Ryan, the penis with a suit on.
Penis with
him,
a suit on.
He's got to go. And honestly, Hickenlooper didn't even register.
Hickenlooper was bad.
Andrew Yang has big checking Raya during the breaks energy.
Oh
wear
my
a
God.
Fucking
oh
tie.
Oh my God, checking Raya during the breaks. He's married.
I've seen him on Raya several times.
Andrew Yang?
Yeah, I know he's been on Raya.
For the gays?
All I'm saying is he has big Raya energy. He looked to me
I don't know
like,
what you're talking about.
He looks like a Raya date.
Are you alleging that Andrew Yang...
I'm not alleging nothing. I'm saying he has the energy, honey. And having the energy of something is way different than doing it. It's actually real culture number 17.
Having the energy of something is way different from doing it.
And of course, rule number 19 of culture is...
Girlfriend, you are so on.
Girlfriend, you are so on.
Wait,
can you even believe...
Girlfriend, you are so on.
Girlfriend USO own. When she came through with Girlfriend USO own, who knew that this would be the big Marianne episode?
Oh my God.
I didn't think, and I'll say this, I knew some people close to me in my life who, when she announced her candidacy, they said, I'm all in. I was like, y'all are kooks.
I know.
But I'm a bigger fan today than I was yesterday.
There you go.
Love was such an easy game to play.
Ooh.
Because it was an easy game to play yesterday, but now today, love will win.
Love will win, and oh,
on the field.
Our guest just came from a viewing of yesterday.
Yes,
by really?
Danny Boyle. I did.
What? Okay, I have so much to say about this movie.
We got
cartoonishness,
but you got to know this is a Danny Boyle. Stamp.
Bitch.
I am.
Well,
I am.
Okay. We can talk about
we'll
that.
We'll talk about it.
But first of all, we're already speaking about the guest. I don't know who this is.
The girlfriend, he is so on.
Girlfriend, you are so on. And I need to know who what he's on.
What
so
he's
tell,
on.
Tell me what he's been on, what he's written on.
Our guest, truly, truly a full dynamo. I've loved him for so long. Ever since I saw his Comedy Central half hour.
What?
That he recorded.
When did you see it first?
This was 3 years ago with Joel. This is Joel's class, Joe Firestone's class.
Yeah. You know, when I met this person.
Who?
When we were JFL New Faces.
Yes. You guys were JFL New Faces class?
We were. Same year.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah, and that's when we first met. And Guy Branum said to me, I think the gays are going to go out. And I said, who are the gays? He said, me, you, and Solomon.
I love that. And then Solomon and I, it's not the same trenches, but Solomon and I were the gays for Two Dope Queens in the last season.
Gay queens.
Get me, Solomon, and Josh Sharp.
Now, what else has this person been owned?
This person's been owned.
Girlfriend, where is he? Where has girlfriend been owned?
Girlfriend's been owned. Okay, so Solomon, we said his name already, but our guest is a writer for so many great shows. High Fidelity, Crashing, the next season of Shrill, even.
We love
that very much. And he's going on tour.
The Diva Tour.
The Diva Tour. It's called Diva. Oh my God. Have you seen the imagery of this?
I have, in fact. And I always think our guest imagery is on point.
Stunning.
Girlfriend's been owned.
It starts July 5th, kicks off in DC.
Serving you the angles.
At Draft House. Mm-hmm. Serving you angles, contouring, looks, tailor made, custom.
Custom looks.
Couture.
Singular. I would say when you hear Rihanna sing, you know it's her. And when you see Solomon's face, you know it's him.
You know it's her. This. So please welcome to your ears, Solomon Giorgio.
Hello.
Hi, Solomon.
Man. It's wonderful to see you outside of the Crunch Greenpoint.
Thank you. Yes,
we ran into each other
at
the
Heard.
Yes, I was trying to get your attention, and you were doing the. I don't know anyone else here.
Well, I would actually.
I'm very like
do you
that,
know what I was Jim. Listening to? Fifth Harmony in my ears, and I was kind of singing a little bit. And then we had a brief conversation, and then as I walked away, I was like, I wonder how outwardly I was singing Fifth Harmony. It could have been.
I didn't hear it. Otherwise, I would have joined in.
Yeah. Right.
Was it pre or post Camilla?
It actually was pre Camilla.
Or pre-Camilla exit, I should say.
Pre-Camilla exit. I don't necessarily recognize Fifth Harmony as a thing post-Camilla. I don't know how. I don't know how the Queens.
They
feel.
Had some fun songs in that last album.
Did they?
They had. Yeah.
Which ones were fun?
There's one that goes, he got that bing bing bing, he got that boom boom boom.
Okay,
so that really good.
It was
a banger. We can really tell by the energy with which you just performed it.
Chart topper.
It's know this. If you could take my pulse right now, you would feel just like a sledgehammer.
That was the first time I ever heard Fifth Harmony. I was like, what the fuck is this? This is
very good.
I actually watched their season of X Factor.
You did.
So I actually bought the.
727.
Miss Moving On.
Miss Moving On.
Yes. Yep. Who is their coach?
Simon.
Simon. Yes.
So Simon, this is actually interesting. So the two big girl groups now, I would argue, are Fifth Harmony and Little Mix.
Yes.
Both came from X Factor.
Yes, indeed.
Little Mix wasn't Simon.
Little Mix was not Simon. Little Mix was Tulisa.
Mm-hmm. Tulisa.
Never forget Tulisa, although many have.
Many have.
Many people didn't even know who she
many
was.
Many people didn't even know who she was. Maybe people at this table, maybe even Meg. Didn't
maybe
know
even
who
Meg,
Tulisa was.
I didn't know who Tulisa
was. HPM was shaking her goddamn head. She didn't know who Tulisa is.
Well, but then what did Fifth Harmony cover again while they were on the show? They did some great little reinterpretations.
You watched the season.
I did watch the season, but I do not recollect.
Yeah, because they really didn't really...
They didn't pop.
The weird thing... By NSYNC?
No, I'm saying they didn't really pop while they were on the show.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Because they didn't win their season.
They did not win.
They didn't win.
Famously... A lot of the people that really succeed from the show, One Direction did not win.
Yeah.
Fifth Harmony did not win. Also,
the Beatles didn't win
X Factor.
True. So, and they did fine.
And they did fine. Pretty good. No, because for me, Fifth Harmony was a blip on my radar during the Britney meme of it all, where the Fifth Harmony got it to advance to the next round, and then they cut to Britney, and she just makes that face of like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
You watched that season. That was Britney and Demi.
Yes.
Yes.
And there was a lot of crying for Demi. That's for sure.
Well, Demi might have been in the throes.
She was like right in the mix of it all.
Yeah.
She was on the verge, on the edge,
on the edge.
She was going to go through it.
You know, I saw Normani perform the other night.
Yes, that's right.
Normani is that bitch.
Really? I've heard of Normani. I've not seen it perform yet.
Normani sings that song with Sam Smith, "Dancing with a Stranger."
Oh, yes. And Normani sings a song with what's his face?
She be featuring.
She's on.
Tell Me What Your Love Lies.
Yes,
that's her.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
I
yes.
saw it was Daya the other day.
Oh, I love Daya.
It took me a moment to realize her songs were not Rihanna.
Yep.
But she's great, and I think she's into comedy. Yes.
Daya's into comedy.
I think she whatever. This is such a a non-brag, truly, because I love Daya, but, like, she followed me, and I was, like, on Twitter, I was like, oh, cute, and then I went to go see who all she was following, and she, like, just follows, like, a bunch of, like, comedy folks, and I'm like, okay,
what's wrong with Daya?
Her?
Is she okay?
Yeah. She's probably, she's troubled.
she has
great musician, terrible taste.
Terrible taste in and follows.
Who's she following? Patty Harrison?
Yeah, sure.
And the like?
And the, wait, we have to talk about something!
What? He just pointed to me with
Matt
the rage?
Matt Rogers got the follow of all follows on Instagram. What
I happened? Wasn't gonna bring this up. Bring it up.
I'm bringing it up.
Bring it
I brought up.
Up
my gross follow, so I'm going to bring up. This is not a gross follow,
do
but
it.
Maren Morris follows Matt Rogers on Instagram.
Do you know Maren Morris?
Sometimes I don't know things.
Okay.
Really?
Well, this is, let me educate you.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle?
Oh my God. Yeah, the one who took the song that no one else wanted.
Yes, but
she
made it into gold.
Made it into
gold.
But
she made it into like
did you
diamond.
Watch that New York Times feature where they like just kind of like talked about the process of picking the person who would sing that? She's got an amazing voice. We've loved her for so long.
We have loved
her. No, she's Maren an amazing
Morris.
Singer.
She's an incredible singer.
And songwriter.
And really good. And so we saw her at Bowery Ballroom on the first album. And this is pre the middle, pre like huge mainstream pop success. But fucking Maren Morris.
Maren Morris.
I love Maren Morris.
So she went to your highlights to see your Taylor Swift Lover soundtrack parodies. And then she DMs you, because Matt sent me the screenshot, you are so fucking funny.
And I told her back, I was like, I'm obsessed with you. I was like, me and all my friends went to go see you at Bowery. I was like, we were obsessed.
Oh my God, this Maren fucking wrote Second Wind for Kelly.
No, yes, that's true.
Like, this Kelly connection, come on, Matt.
Well,
I should work
Maren to Kelly.
Yes.
Oh, that's another thing that I see at our gym all the time is the commercials for Kelly's new talk show.
Oh, wait. You've seen commercials for it?
Yes.
Wow. I've seen no commercials for it yet. I feel like RuPaul is everywhere right now.
I'm just on the treadmill watching those info. Like,
so you're up on the treadmill in the gym. Okay.
Treadmill queen.
Can I tell you, cardio's hard for me now.
I hate it.
Yeah.
And I still do.
Yeah. I mean, I used to be a cardio queen.
Look, I'm aging, so my body's for sure going to fall apart.
As we all
and
are.
So I must do the cardio part. So cardiovascular health is in like it's imperative the closer you are to 40.
So when you get on the treadmill, what are you doing? A couple miles?
Well, I'm actually doing the elliptical.
Oh, the elliptical.
And I do the Stairmaster.
Okay, bitch. You got to work them legs.
And
legs
I usually, and it's disgusting, but I do about an hour or so.
You do?
A total of cardio.
Yeah.
That's so hardcore.
Okay, well, I don't do high impact, so it's
great. But
like,
still, but that's like patience. That's like mental, like, okay, we're
here. Well, I have like the internet with me at all times.
Yeah. I know, but
I'm just like watching Bob's Burgers and climbing upstairs. I'm fine.
I have a question
though. I'm surviving.
So when you're doing the elliptical, how do you plug in so that you can hear what's going on the TVs? Or are we just supposed to watch?
Oh, you're supposed to have one of those old headphones without the dongle thing.
I can't
plug it into
this.
The treadmill.
Yes, and plug it into the treadmill. And I look, it's first of all, the only thing they're showing on that TV is Supernatural, which is on all day long.
On every channel.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm there during the day, during the week. And so it's like I get a lot of like the daytime TV. So I am going to be, I guess when Kelly's show does debut, I guess I'm going to be seeing
it. You'll be right there.
Yeah.
How does the show look? The Kelly Clarkson daytime show?
It looks so simple and so fun. And that's the only reason that I'd actually want to plug in my headphone because I can tell she's singing in the commercial.
Yes, that's
the
thing.
And I want to know what she's singing.
See, my whole thing is I was nervous about her doing a daytime show because I didn't want her to stop singing. But it feels like singing is going to be very much
an element
of
it. But it feels like it's been sort of under wraps for so long. Whereas with RuPaul, it was like, what a quick turnaround that was.
Yeah, RuPaul's also had some interesting guests.
But RuPaul's also had a talk show before.
Sure.
Yeah, that's true.
This is Kelly's first talk show, so everyone's like, you have to learn how to do this
first. Totally.
Do we know? I think it debuts in September. Everything
is
saying that?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
And wasn't it like, they start taping it like in the fall of last year?
I had a mole that was at the pilot taping.
Uh-huh.
And the mole reported to me, the mole had said, what the mole had said was that she talks a lot.
Yeah.
And that she was obviously a natural, but it was her first time doing it. So the pilot taping was long.
Yeah.
But that they had a lot. Like apparently they shot a lot of segments.
Okay.
So that they could cut it down and have the best of the best.
Got
but they
it.
Did a lot. Like, bitch was, you know, playing with a snake. Bitch was talking to about human interest. Bitch had celebrity guests on the couch. She was singing, twerking, you know.
Yeah, she
all
was
the
twerking.
Gig. Well, no, I just, that was
yeah, a, that
fingers
was just
crossed.
A filler. A filler
fingers
word.
Crossed.
Fingers crossed.
She has that big Greek booty. In her words.
She's Greek?
She's Greek.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you guys really do have so much in common.
Are you Greek as well?
I am Greek. Oh. That's why I have my ass.
Yes. Oh. Wow.
I didn't know.
I didn't know Greeks had asses.
We do. That's a thing.
And is it really?
There's literally statues of them.
I know.
Have you ever seen a Greek statue?
I have.
Literally,
you'll notice their big ass.
That was my first crush.
I know. You know what? Oh, God. I mean,
was the Statue of David like a
honestly like a normal person. With his little penis?
I mean,
David has a small penis. Actually Roller Coaster number 101.
David has a small penis.
Okay, I think that penis is just, it's flaccid, and I think we should embrace them.
Yeah,
well, I guess we won't know until someone gets David hard.
I would get horny to art books. My mom would buy like these giant like coffee table books with like Greek statues and shit. And like it was beautiful because I would like learn art and I would like appreciate art and aesthetics. And like I could like talk about like, oh, and this is this era and this era. And then I'd be like, oh, and I'm also horny for this, for, you know, the one with the dad with the snakes.
Yeah.
And
oh,
the,
yes.
Yeah, that one.
With the flinging children?
With flinging children, yeah, whatever that one. Dad with the snakes, that's what it's called. Yeah.
I had those art books as well, and I also had the figure drawing books. And that's also how I drew my own porn.
I would draw my own porn, too. Yeah. You're an LO. You used to draw. I was a big drawer.
That's what I did. I drew all the time, and I was obsessed with, like, but also my brothers found all my drawings once.
Shut up. And were they erotic male drawings?
Love this. Oh, yes. But also some of them were their favorite superheroes.
So they're like, I'm going to have this for my room.
So they just realized it was like, oh my God. So yeah, they learned a lot about, well, I had one that I was particularly proud of, which was the Hulk's bottoming for Spider-Man.
What? You could vividly draw that?
Yes.
The Hulk bottoming for Spider-Man?
With the web slinger. Spider-Man mask on.
Yeah, the detail that you go into. I would spend hours.
Wow, you're a talented artist.
Well, you didn't see the art. You don't know yet, but I am very good.
In order to vividly draw that and you know what it is, you'd have to be good.
Was it just line drawings or would you color? Like you would color it
I wouldn't color.
Got it.
I was just pencil sketches and they were just very as detailed as possible. So it really did affect my younger brothers. So.
That's amazing. You know what I did was I would... So this actually like sparked like whatever, like storytelling, creative instincts, whatever. But I would like... draw my own animes, and then I would like create stories out of them and plot points and stuff. Oh. And I would put them in like photo albums.
Oh my god!
And I would like cut out the drawings and put them in photo albums and like write down like, oh, this is what happens in this part of this season. You know, like it was kind of
oh my
like
god,
a fun
I did the same thing.
Yeah,
in high school I had a whole series called Tales of the City, and I like no, it was
Tales of the
no,
City.
No, not Tales of the City. It was something else.
But it was like a story.
I took like three girls that I knew in high school and I turned them into these alien characters, and I would like update the story as much as possible. And
I love that.
Based on what was going on in real life?
No, not based on. It was sort of like it's
more creative.
Weird dystopian nonsense sort of story about three separate species in an alien race and this one dumb idiot that follows them around.
You were a comic book tree
star.
Love comic books.
You love comic books?
Yes.
Would you say it's the culture that made you say culture is for you?
No.
Yeah.
That's a good one. No, we talked about this because we talked about Dark Phoenix the other day.
I did. I'm obsessed with comic books when I was a kid. We also mispronounced a lot of their names for the longest time.
Oh, sure. Like, oh, yeah, just in.
Oh, yeah. We were, I think it was until we saw the X-Men cartoon that we're like, oh, it's not pronounced Ragu. Okay.
Ragu.
Rogue?
Yes.
Oh my God.
For years.
Stupid.
No. That's
we will
so dog.
That's like I used to call Hermione Hermione. I had a fourth grade teacher who said Hermione.
And in Montreal.
It makes sense.
In Montreal, I would call the, Return of the Jedi. I saw Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say, La retour de le Jedi.
Le Jedi.
Le Jedi.
La retour
de le Jedi.
Le Jedi. Yeah. So that's Rogu.
Oh, yeah. We fucked up so many words.
That's
we were
gorgeous.
ESL. We couldn't help it.
There you go.
Did you see the new Dark Phoenix?
I have not seen it yet. We discussed it the other day. I'm going to watch it, but it'll probably be not until it's plain.
On a plane.
You think it's a plane film.
So yes. I saw it with Sam Taggart and Misha Townsend and Julio Torres.
And how did y'all feel?
We all went in being like, it's going to be so bad. It's going to be so stupid and terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, not unenjoyable of a film.
Turner give it to you?
Sophie started out kind of like rocky. You're like, oh no, can she do this? Can she like carry this movie? And I think she does a pretty good job.
Really?
And like it's like a fully like soulless film, but it's like beat by beat, it's like entertaining, and you're like, okay, I'm like engaged. I'm not like looking at my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then it's like two hours and 20 minutes, and like it can lose like 35 minutes.
Oh, really?
But like it's an unenjoyable film, but completely unnecessary.
Yeah, okay.
Like
so
the,
that's what's happening.
Well, for me, the last set of X-Men movies have been like the most like insane set of films I've ever seen, because it's truly everyone, they go, hey, you know that secondary character that we decided not to build up very well? Well, they're now the star of the movie.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
what are we doing?
It's also so weird to me that they had to, literally because of Jennifer Lawrence's fame, they had to make Mystique a huge part of the movie.
And a good guy.
Because
and, like,
she's really...
To be fair, she's a big part of the comic
is
book.
She really? Because in the original, in the Rebecca Romijn cinematic universe, which is what I call the originals, she's nothing.
Well, yes, in that set, yes. But if you're talking about the comic book, she is an influencer. She's a mother.
Okay.
She's just Rogue's whole origin story is because of her.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you would say that the Jennifer Lawrence cinematic universe does more justice to the comics than the Rebecca Romijn cinematic
Look,
universe.
Neither of them do real justice to the comics.
Right.
But
okay, I get it.
But Mystique is a much bigger character in the comic books.
Here, I'm going to throw something by you.
Mm-hmm.
They come to your door and say, we want you to write the X-Men movie. Is that something you're excited about?
Yes.
Yeah, you should do that.
Oh, my God. I would fall apart.
You should do that.
First of all, Storm would be in right front and center.
They've always done Storm dirty.
It's insane. Like, the first movie with Halle Berry where they were like, okay, don't do the African accent ever again.
So wild. She had it and then she didn't.
Oh,
hang on to something.
It was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
It was truly like... I love Halle Berry so much. But
I love her
an African
too.
Accent is black actor 101.
Yeah.
And if you can't do it, that's bananas.
Well, she wasn't even doing it. She did like this weird, odd, stilted.
Like this dying diplomat.
Yeah, it was very strange. Although I find that Halle Berry has very modern gifts.
She has modern gifts. And then she did deliver, I think one of the campiest lines in a superhero movie, which is, do you know what happens to a toe when it gets
struck
by
lightning?
Lightning?
The same thing that happens to everything else.
You know, they paid Joss Whedon a lot of money to come in to write just that line.
And it's a perfect line.
It's very good.
It's the same thing as everything else.
Also, Halle Berry, you can't say she doesn't fucking commit every single time. Like, remember that movie Kidnap?
Mm. Oh, I love
it. Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
Oh, no!
Literally,
my phone!
90% of the dialogue on that movie is, oh, God!
And then the other, and then the 10% is, where's my phone?
Where's
my damn phone?
It is. She... I'll give her always great credit for that because she will never, ever give nothing than 100% of her.
No, of course.
Have you seen Introducing Dorothy Dandridge?
Of course.
That's a great performance.
That's a great performance.
I would even say her best performance.
Really?
Absolutely.
I think one of the greatest performances of all time is in BAPS, Black African Princesses. And
wow.
I also think that's one of the best Will reading scenes in a film.
Will reading scenes.
There's a scene at the end where there's a Will reading.
Yes.
And they decided not to learn any legal jargon whatsoever.
They being the characters
the
actors?
Writers.
The writers, yeah.
No one learned any legal jargon. So what they decided to do instead is play this weirdly knockoff John Williams music. As a lawyer slowly reads,
oh, no.
And the couch goes to the mom,
and it's nothing but just reaction shots, no words.
Oh.
It's just reacting to the Will reading. And
that's a way to get around.
That's actually a really smart
3 minutes, and it's so beautiful. I cannot probably explain how much I love that scene.
Wow.
Hold on, let me write that down in my moleskin that I carry.
Writing Will readings.
Oh,
that's perfect.
Oh, yeah,
that is something they really would have taught us in writing schools. If you don't know how to do something, have it happen with no dialogue.
There you go.
Music. They really would have told us that.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
And that is great advice because it's just the most, it's too entertaining. Like I love anyone speaking while music is playing. That's just when I just hyper-focus. I'm like, let me see what you can do with your face.
Sure.
Let me see you emote.
But in this case, it was just emoting with music, and that was it.
Yes. And it was just
it was
everyone.
Still compelling.
And then right after that, they go right into the aftermath of everything, where they opened a salon that's half soul food, half hair.
Mm.
And
perfect.
And Halle Berry didn't falter a single time in that.
Of course
film.
Not.
No. What is the best comic book film that you, in your esteemed opinion,
in
since
my
you
esteemed?
Are the comic book Trista?
Oh God, I'm not going to say that. I just know my share.
I know that, but I.
This
I
is a
I
tough
to
decision
like
to make. Oh, now I'm an authority. Oh,
but you must have been,
I have.
You've been asked.
I have an opinion. Yeah. I have an opinion.
Yes.
You go first.
Oh God, my opinion.
Would you like me to give my opinion?
Give your opinion first.
Well, I think that the movie that captures the comic book spirit and also the cinematic whole thing of it before they got too self-serious. I do love The Dark Knight, but my favorite comic book movie is the first Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire and Kirsten
Dunst. I was
going to
say, first Spider-Man
Dunst.
Is pretty great.
I think it celebrates comic book energy, and I think it was a thrilling film. And they had amazing chemistry, and there was a great villain, and great performances all around. That's how I feel.
My feeling, and I think it's because it just hits every note that I like, is Batman Returns.
Oh, that's an great. Excellent. That's a very good answer.
It gives me everything I needed, which is high camp.
Yep.
Some great scenes. Mm-hmm. A great, like, Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman.
She's iconic.
Is unapproachable.
Academy Award nominee for me.
And for, absolutely. And, like, there was something about the scene where she, you know, gets thrown down and you think she's dead, and like that, just that moment of the cat's like licking her wounds, like as a kid watching that, I'm like, something, this is doing something to me, and I don't know what it is.
It's a relentlessly adult movie.
It's on the verge of being campy and silly,
yeah,
but yet it still stays in that perfect, it's at that perfect Tim Burton realm when he first started that I just love so much, and that's I think Batman Returns is by far, like,
totally.
I would agree.
But in terms of just like a queer response to it, like just as a kid being like, wow, why am I responding to that? It's one of those things where you're like, I don't know why I like this, but I like it, and then you get older and you're like, that's why.
Yeah,
because I'm who I am
gay
now.
Icon.
Because she's a gay icon.
Yeah, and also the narrative of the rebirth.
But also keep in mind, there's multiple gay icons in this movie.
Of course.
Every gay icon is there. The Penguin is a queer icon.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, a black slime dripping out of his mouth. Queer icon.
That
That's
was
queer.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That death scene
blood.
Was nuts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, would we fuck Michael Keaton? I think I absolutely,
absolutely
would.
Yes. Yeah. For Every sure. time, right now.
Yeah.
No time machine needed.
They had good chemistry, too. They had sneaky chemistry. Mm-hmm. They had sneaky chemistry where you're like, I don't think this is what this is. And then all of a sudden it is. And you're like, of course this is what it is.
Michelle and Michael.
Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne in that movie. Their chemistry. And it's like crazy. And then there's that great scene at the end at the dance when they realize when they're dancing together their alter egos that they are who they are. And the dance becomes very intense.
Yes.
It's very good it's scene. Very good.
And the reason I love it a lot is that it's not that damsel in distress love story.
No,
that's what I. That's so much better. It's like now we're foes, but are we foes? Like it's like I love
it. Yeah, no, they cut the Kim Basinger of it all for that.
Totally.
One. Yeah.
I did enjoy, not to bring it back to Dark Knight, but I did enjoy Anne as Selina Kyle. Anne Hathaway.
Oh, I thought Anne Hathaway was amazing.
I thought she was the best part of The Dark Knight Rises.
Definitely.
Kind of. Look, in my opinion.
You not a fan?
I love Anne Hathaway.
Me too.
It's just that Catwoman was. Okay.
You know, it's always going to pale in comparison.
Of course.
Well, that's the thing. My issue was her as the character was fantastic, but Catwoman's presence in that film was just...
You couldn't make her... She had no interest in making... Yeah.
Anne Hathaway did a good Selina Kyle.
She did a good Selina Kyle, but it was not like... There was no interest in campiness or like making her like super fun. But like she had great moments where it was like... You know, she gets like held up by some guy and he's like, do those heels hurt? And then she stabs him with it, kicks back and stabs him with it. And she goes, I don't know. Do they?
Yeah.
Like, that's fun.
That is fun.
There are some fun moments.
She is the only fun thing about that movie.
Yeah.
And the thing about...
But it's barely that... It's not even that fun.
And that almost makes it tonally weird for me because that trilogy, it really strove to take the fun out
of it
and make it dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there is a lot of darkness in especially Dark Knight Rises is like fully fucking dark.
Yeah.
And of course there's, you know, the Heath Ledger of it all in Dark Knight, which is fun to watch. Yeah. And I'll never forget watching that movie for the first time, his performance, but almost the goofiness of her lines and stuff like that made me feel like, I like this the best, but I can also understand it's a little tonally inconsistent.
There's a part of me when I watched those where that I didn't see in the first ones, which were like, you were doing these absolutely insane things and you're treating it very seriously.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like the fact that Bane's voice wasn't a joke.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The entire, I'm like, how are we messing with me? This is not, because it's intentional.
That is not campy because it's not celebrating an intentionally bad, you know, intentionally bad taste or something.
No, it's this. Somebody was like, this sounds good.
Totally.
It's something someone said yes to. You know, the thing is, it really is hard to do better than The Dark Knight. You know what I mean? It's like, especially in terms of the iconic film that was the Joker.
Film,
And now you even see the new movies come out, the new Jokers. Like, although I do think this Joaquin Phoenix one looks interesting, we'll never... Yeah, it does look interesting to me. But it'll never be...
I think we've given Joaquin Phoenix too much. I'll say it forever.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying, like, when I saw the trailer, I was like, okay, if there had to be another take, which remember, Hollywood, there always has to be another take. Mm-hmm. So if there's gonna be another take, this at least looks like one that I'm more interested in than that Suicide Squad bullshit.
Oh, totally. That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that looks stupid. Yeah, if you're gonna compare it to Jared Leto, yeah, that's definitely, sure. Of course, I would want that instead.
Although, yeah.
And that's like some tasteless person at a studio is going to be like, actually, can we make Jared more, mm-hmm. Neon and colorful? Oh, and, that's
why,
being filtered.
Did you see it? Because I heard he was barely in it.
I didn't see it.
I didn't see it.
See, I didn't see it either. But some people that reported back from it said Jared Leto was in maybe 15 minutes.
Really?
Of
you have so many moles.
I have a lot of moles around town. They're my culturistas.
Moles who do things that you could absolutely do. There aren't infiltrating spaces that you couldn't go in.
I'm confident saying I don't have time to see Suicide Squad. It's actually Rule of Culture number 11.
I don't have time to see Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. I just want to say really quickly, the costume designer for Dark Knight Rises was brilliant, because the Catwoman ears being her glasses is so fucking brilliant.
She had a cool.
That's
she,
from the comic book though.
Oh really? Yeah. Never mind. Yeah. Damn.
There was a lot of cool stuff.
That's
there.
Good. They had to construct it, and it was a great idea.
Also, Marion Cotillard had an iconic death.
She did. Wait. Oh yeah. Which
she's? Did you know she's famously so pissed that they chose this take of her death scene?
Yes.
So she says, and she literally is like, "It's too late," and like she literally is in the media being like,
"I just couldn't believe they chose that take."
That was my Marion Cotillard.
What were her other takes? Well, she was.
She apparently died
like a million
more
times.
Naturally. Like apparently, she died a million times, and they chose one. She was like,
back in the editing room, like that was the best.
That
take.
Was the best one. We can really tell she died in this one. But I actually one of my guilty pleasures is those last two Batmans of the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Which were Batman Clooney. Forever, which was iconic. Nicole Kidman as Dr. Chase Meridian.
That's Val Kilmer, yeah.
With the one hair in front of her eye. The Val Kilmer of it all. The introduction to Chris O'Donnell.
Chris O'Donnell.
Hottie Chris O'Donnell, Twink of the Year as Robin.
That was introduction to thick butts and tight pants.
Yeah, truly. And then we had, of course, the Batman and Robin of it all with George Clooney and Chris O'Donnell and Alicia Silverstone in the worst performance of all
and
time.
And Uma Thurman.
And Uma Thurman in the best performance. Of all
first
time.
Film I've ever seen in a theater.
Me too, really? Bitch.
Yes.
Oh my god, me too.
That was the first film, and that's why I probably love it till this day, was because it just felt right.
I'll never forget going. Maybe it wasn't the first one, but I distinctly remember going to the movie theater and watching it because
I was so fucking hyped to see that movie. Like,
I mean, that was a good one.
And I think it was like I was a teen for that for sure. My parents wouldn't let us go to the movie theater. Our whole lives.
Same.
And this was my own money, and I got to go for the first time, and I took my brothers with me.
I love that.
And it was
as I told Lady Freeze when I pulled her plug.
Uma Thurman, and your name is
Poison Ivy.
Uma.
That is camp.
It's
wild camp.
Nothing but camp.
It's nothing but camp. And Chris O'Donnell peeling that fucking cover off his lips is like actually an iconic
rubber
moment.
Lips.
But that's
and she's like,
and those suits had nipples on them.
And nipples, and they
and
had
it caused
nipples.
An uproar.
Yeah, because it was, I guess what was the guy's name? Joel Schumacher,
mm-hmm.
The director. He was like relentlessly gay on set.
Oh, yes, and yes. I
apparently,
love that.
Apparently, like this. I read this article that was came out like just a few years ago.
But was
talking
it like a Me Too?
It.
Was it like a Me Too level kind of thing?
I don't know anything about that. I'm not talking about that.
You're
what I'm
waving
talking about
this
is,
away. Like
he was. I'm waving that away. Don't I don't know anything. About
I think
about
there
it.
Is an issue along those lines that we might have to confirm.
Well, the culturistas, you can chime in if you know anything. I don't know. But what I am gonna say, which I thought was funny, was he would climb to the top of his director's chair and say before every take, "Remember, you're in a cartoon."
Oh, and fucking Drew Barrymore and what's her face?
They were Sugar and Spice.
Sugar and Spice. Oh, she's.
They were in Batman and Forever.
Yes, they were in Batman Forever. But there's that. Oh god, there's a great actress. She's in Younger and
Debbie Mazur.
Debbie Mazur. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Oh, they were Two Faces.
Lackeys.
Yes.
Two Faces groupies, basically.
Yeah. Sugar and Spice.
Sugar and Spice. Mm-hmm. And I just remember Drew Barrymore in that not platinum wig, a white wig and white lipstick.
Yeah, she was. She had one and a half lines.
Her right tit fully out.
Yeah, fully.
It was like a Lil' Kim moment. I was like, oh my God.
Absolutely,
it was
actually on a mountain of coke fresh off the slopes.
Yes.
This was actually her return after rehab.
Was
her big first thing before she cleaned up.
Oh, I love
that. She might have had a relapse since then.
Of course.
But after that, but she, like, so that was her big, like,
post Little Girl Lost phase. Yeah.
Yeah, this is after like Poison Ivy and she just disappeared into nothing.
Yes, all that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, she was also in a movie called Poison Ivy.
Yes. You know, she was like doing, she was like drinking at age 8, smoking weed at age 10.
That's crazy.
And then like doing coke at like age 11.
That's wild.
That's fucking crazy.
And she's doing great now. Look, and I fucking love her.
The only reason I didn't do it was because of access. People didn't trust me.
Had coke been around when I was 9?
I would be a celebrity right now.
I'd be stuffing it up there.
Stuffing it. Wait, did you ever play? Because you replied to my Final Fantasy tweet. Did you play Final Fantasy?
Oh, I'm also a video game person as
can
well.
We talk about this? Because I haven't had, we haven't had like a
video game.
You don't
have to ask me for permission, bitch.
No, bitch. This is like new territory.
What I will talk about.
Okay, what were your games?
I actually do, I was obsessed with Final Fantasy VIII. I think I played that one. I clocked a lot of hours on that one. Oh, yeah.
Eight's a pretty gay one.
It's super gay. And that's also the most crystal clear
story.
I never understood a single Final Fantasy story.
The story makes no sense.
None of them do. Like, it's sort of like a dystopian thing, and there's sort of like a tyrant of some sorts. I think you're going to have to fight.
There's a weird
steampunk nightmare.
Yeah.
That I'll never fully comprehend, but I'm like, I think it's the best gameplay in the world.
Eight? The series altogether.
Eight was my favorite out of all. It had the gun swords.
It had the gun swords.
What's that? Describe.
They're called gun blades.
With guns.
like a bayonet?
Yes.
It's like a giant, imagine like a giant like pistol handle.
Okay,
With a barrel and like a trigger.
Mm-hmm. Truly phallic.
Phallic.
Truly.
But then instead of an actual fucking gun, it was just a sword blade, and then you would just like swing it around.
Like you'd kill people with a blade as well as shoot them with a gun. Really unnecessary.
So crazy. Sounds violent.
Final Fantasy is actually camp, and Final Fantasy X and X-2 are actually two sides of the same coin that shows how queer culture and straight culture can coexist.
Now, what is Final Fantasy 12?
12? You haven't played 12. Oh, but you have played 12.
12 is
you're asking me what 12 is. 12 is, 12 is like for a queer person who loves AP US history or AP European history. It's like, it's truly, Matt is fully checked out and is just on his phone.
I don't know about this.
I don't know, but whenever I don't know about shit, I'm always like, oh, I'm like,
tell me
it in.
I just asked you about what the
bayonet shit was.
Fine.
But if you want to talk about like RPGs that I am obsessed with now, left it at home in LA. I'm now playing Ni No Kuni 2.
I played the first one and I didn't love it.
Did you? I'm obsessed with it.
Okay, but I hear Ni No Kuni 2 is fun. It's more fun.
This one is a whole other, like, I just love Miyazaki.
It's
a game made by Miyazaki who's...
Spirited Away.
Who's Miyazaki? Oh, yes, I know that he did Spirited Away.
I'm playing 12 again.
Yes.
I'm playing...
Did they remaster it or...?
They remastered it for Switch. Okay. And for, like, because they remastered for PS4 and then they did Switch and Xbox 360.
These are things I would happily. Aren't they just completely recreating 7?
They're completely redoing 7 and it actually could be, it'll probably be bad, but it could be good. They're doing a TV show, which is going to be bad.
TV show? They've managed to do as much as they can. In the Final Fantasy like film and TV realm, and it's never been good.
To be honest with you, I'm surprised it's taken this long. It feels like such a huge franchise.
Oh, they've done it many times.
They have.
They did the movie in 2000 with Ming-Na. Okay. Do you remember this?
Yes, I don't remember. Yeah. I don't remember.
It's called Final Fantasy: The Spirits Within.
Yeah,
and it was the sci-fi
Ming-Na of ER
fame.
And also wasn't Ben Affleck?
Oh yes, yeah. Some guy was the voice actor of the love interest who ends up dying, spoiler alert. But let's see. Wait, Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within. We're Googling this, listeners.
These were not the video games that I played. When I was little, I was like a fucking Mario Donkey Kong bitch. Like, I played like first person shooters too, which now terrify me actually.
Look, there's just a splinter off that happens where the rest of us go, give me RPGs.
Yes, I get it. I did play the Mario RPG.
I love how you say Mario. It's very Long Island.
Mario. Yeah, I can't switch into Mario.
I get it.
It's not something I can allow.
Can I just list off this? The cast
I like how
of
it's
this
beneath
movie?
You. To
I won't
say
allow it. No, I won't allow it.
I'm gonna list off the
I
cast.
I sat my own wrist.
The cast of this movie, the voice cast of this movie. So Ming-Na plays Aki Ross, the protagonist. You have Alec Baldwin as the love interest.
Yeesh.
Steve Buscemi. Donald Sutherland plays Sid.
Jesus Christ.
James Woods is a general. Ving Rhames is a sergeant.
What, did they get every problematic celebrity to fucking put together and voice this?
It's really wild.
It's like, you can't see their face, so it'll be okay.
I know, but this was like 2000. And then they did Advent Children for 7, and that was terrible.
Oh, God. It is, yeah. It's really sad. I really, truly wish... But the games are, I think, no matter what, I've gone back, like, I played the last one. What was the last number?
15.
15 which was, like, I didn't get to be, you don't get to be involved in that game whatsoever. No. It's mostly movies.
It's just movies. It's just, like, soap operas. And then
you have to drive everywhere. Have to get into a car, sit in that car, and drive somewhere for, like, 15 minutes.
Like, but you're not even controlling it. You're just, like, you go drive, and then you just set your controller down, and it drives for you. It's, and you're,
you don't do anything?
You don't do anything.
You are just...
Why the fuck are you getting it?
It's the most crazy fucking... Like, you're supposed to, like, sit back and enjoy the view.
Do people like it?
Like, bitch, I can go outside and see the world!
No, people really hated this one.
Yeah, it was really... It was
that
pure torture.
That seems really odd.
It was stuck in development hell for 10 years. So they announced it in 2006. It didn't come out until 2016.
This is Final Fantasy 15?
15. Mm. And it was like just kind of, it was a really bro-y game and there was nothing fun about it. Because all Final Fantasy games within a certain era were like kind of campy and queer and fun. Mm-hmm. Had their like little notes of it.
And little side games you can do. And this one was just very
just
much
had
like.
Nothing. It was just very self-serious. It was very, like, it felt like a Christopher Nolan movie, honestly. Mm.
It was like. So long. And one of those things, I have to beat them. That's the issue, which made me even more upset.
15 was the first one that I was like, I don't care about this game enough to beat it. And I was just like, I'm putting it down.
Wow.
So
anyway. I beat it and it was not that hard. It just took forever.
Forever. 13 I kind of liked. And 13 had some queer elements where Vanille and Fang were like lesbians, kind of.
That makes sense. I'm so bad at remembering names. The only name I remember is Squall from 2.
Squall.
And that's it.
Yeah.
From 8.
That's Squall and Cypher. Oh, no. I would masturbate to Zell and Cypher a lot as kids.
Wait,
you would love
was a
Zell was
blonde
the,
one.
Blonde
with
the face tattoo. With
oh, yes. He was doing a lot.
He was doing a lot. He was...
I was a Squall stan. Zell was for sure too problematic for me. I think he's the kind of person who would have bullied us in high school.
Absolutely. But Zell and Cypher were like...
And Bowen points to him and says, you would have loved him.
No, but I'm saying no, because he's like this blonde, muscly dude. And like, I was like very into that at that time.
And he was like, he's a jokester. He was the guy that like, I'm jumping off stairs and like...
He was the one who was the class clown.
He was the class clown, but Matt is a Zell. Oh my God, have you played Persona 5?
Of course. It's probably the only game I've ever replayed. Because it's worth replaying.
It's worth replaying. I have not gotten the time to replay it.
Replaying it means you get everything.
I know, you get everything and that you get... Your,
it's also a genius game. You're a high schooler.
You're a high school in Japan.
You're a high school in it.
But then you go to high school half the time and then the other half you heist people's minds.
In this other dimension.
In this other dimension, you go
like
into
Inception?
These... It's like Inception. It's kind of like Inception, but you go into bad people's minds to like...
Get the impurities out of them.
And it's like a brilliant fucking game. It's so goddamn good. Oh my God. Wait, who was your... waifu was Makoto. She's the school girl, like the class president.
I'm trying to remember. The person that I tried to date?
The people I tried to date were... I was set on Makoto and I was like... She's gonna be my waifu, and like that's like
waifu.
Waifu, it's like a Japanese term for like waifu husbandu.
I went for the. I stayed with. I usually because it was the first time I played. I went for the girl that they initially.
Yes. Oh, the blonde
hung out with. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But when I replayed it, I did it where I got all of them.
You got all of them. Good for you.
And that they were very upset at the end.
What do you mean, get all of them?
So like you can get them. You can convince them to date you.
All of these girls to date you.
You play as a boy and you have to convince all the girls to date you.
You
by giving them like you like sort of giving them the right present at the right time and sort of like develop a, like a relationship.
Is there
with
sex in the game?
There is implied sex. There's not really actual sex.
There's a moment where things go dark.
Yeah.
Really?
it's kind of a problematic game because it's just Japanese culture. And so there's like a seedy part of town where like there's a gay bar where a drag queen is the bartender and it's just like
But she's also the kind of the drag queen's also the person that gets you gigs, like gets you like working jobs. So.
The drag queen is great.
So
yes.
Insane.
it's insane.
But then the gay patrons of the bar are like, you're like, ew, get away from me. You know, it's like
there's a whole homophobic, like
it's very homophobic. But and like if you could date men in that game, I would fucking be playing it all the time. Like all the fucking
and
time.
And it's pretty fun. But yeah, you can get them all to date you at once and then they confront you at the end of the game.
Can you play as a girl and date boys?
No. Although they're re-releasing it where you can play as a girl, maybe. Persona 5 R or something. Anyway, they're re-releasing it and they're like adding new content. So,
I can talk about Persona. Yeah, Persona 5 I played plenty. It's so fun.
I love
it's
that.
An absolute.
Oh my god, that's so cool.
And then you also have to take tests in that game.
Yeah, it's done.
Like it's insane. Like you're in school and you have to take actual history. And
it sounds like it sounds like this game is just doing the high school experience.
It is just the high school experience, but then it's like there's a fantasy element where you're like a Power Ranger. You're doing Inception. Like it's Power Ranger Inception.
You just hop into this other realm. You have this mask to cover your face, and it's sort of like. And then you also get these like creatures that you can use to like attack people
with.
This
is very Hannah Montana.
It's very Hannah Montana.
It's very I have to live my life as a normal person, but then at night,
I'm
a pop star.
Wait, one last thing before we move on. Zelda, you a Zelda person?
That's where we splinter off.
Got it. I respect that.
Yeah, it's
never too late to start.
Zelda bores me. Even Ocarina of Time, I'm like, this fucking
sucks. You're so stupid. You're such a stupid bitch. I can't believe you would ever
sucked.
Say that.
The beginning.
You're going to get fucking murdered for saying this.
I hope that everyone kills me.
I'm not going to disagree that you're a stupid bitch, but I will for sure agree that I'm not a fan of Zelda.
You guys are so
boring and humorless.
You guys are... I'm going to fucking explode right
now. First of all, what is she?
What do you mean she?
Zelda.
Zelda is the princess who represents the Triforce of Wisdom.
Then why am I not playing as her?
Because you're going to get to play as her. They're making a sequel for Breath of the Wild where you get to play as Zelda finally.
30 years later?
Like, what the fuck?
Yes, bitch. Deal with it. Progress is slow and not linear.
That game is fucking boring. You can run across a field for 45 minutes and nothing happens.
No, everything happens, and it's the most Breath of the Wild, the most recent installment, is widely considered to be the best game of all time, beating Ocarina of Time, which was previously considered the best game of all time. And you guys are stupid bitches who don't understand game design and the subtle elements of the invisible hand that guides you along to the next path. Grow the fuck up. Read a book. I don't think so, honey. I don't think so. I'm mad at you.
The best video game of all time.
Is what? Mario Party, Super Mario Party, Slapperazzi?
Is Mario Kart. Because anyone can play, even a child. And it's important that for video games be everyone. It's important that for video games be everyone.
That's rule culture number 91.
It's important that for video games be everyone.
I'm sorry, can we take that again?
No.
It is important that for video games be everyone.
One more
time. We don't know. I refuse to say it again.
It's important that for video games. Please.
No.
You should have gotten right the first two times.
Stupid cunt.
But to be more than anything, I'm a fighting game person.
Okay, see, that's where we
start.
I don't like fighting or violence or guns.
I'm
with Gillibrand on this. I'm with Eric Swalwell.
I'm a cop. I'm Camilla Harris.
And I'm a cop.
My dick moved when Eric Swalwell last night said, we need to break up with Russia and make up with NATO. And I blame UCB for my dick moving.
You blame UCB for your dick moving.
Because watching his eyes twinkle when he made a lukewarm joke reminded me of every mediocre second beat I saw executed
by
guys who were so satisfied to watch that happen.
Now, God, you know who loves the cops is Mayor Pete.
You're annoying.
Oh, yes.
Anyway.
He doesn't love the cops.
He is a cop because he loves the cops.
Do you not know the news? He is not the best.
I don't
Did you hear
the news? Did you not hear the news?
He is not the best.
And Governor USO. And Governor USO. All right, so here's my rankings. 1, Kamala. 2, Marianne. 3, Marianne. 4, Marianne. 5, Marianne.
This is just night two.
Only night two.
Well, no.
Night one was so boring.
I think night one was kind of shitty, and also I think that certain candidates in night two would have stood out more
if Gillibrand
I think would have looked better on night one.
Like she would have fucking wiped the floor with Amy.
I don't think it's a thing about Amy. I am pitting women against each other. Pitting women against each other, and that's something that Bowen Yang does. But what I'm saying is that Gillibrand would have looked better overall. I think the top three people of the first night were probably
Warren Castro, Booker.
Castro, and for me, I guess Booker, which is insane.
It's crazy.
And with Klobuchar, like a spoiler.
But that's because the rest of them were so awful.
They're such
like
duds.
Like when Beto was going to Spanish, and I was like,
Beto
Jesus.
Is done.
God.
Beto is fucking cooked. Beto looked terrified.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, it's just like, especially with Castro there, like, you're going to do that?
Honey,
right
his
there?
Accent was horrific.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
It was bad. It was bad.
Like, I think I
bad.
Stopped watching because I was just humiliated for him. Like, I wish those kind of white guys would just have that embarrassment yeah. for a fraction of a moment.
I've never heard a harder R than his Escuchar.
Ooh.
Escuchar.
Ooh.
Escuchar.
He was really hitting that R hard. And also, I guess for me, the second night, my opinion is that Kamala looked impeccable.
She mm-hmm. was very good.
And that I would say I thought Pete did well, and I thought that if I had to give a third, which I really don't feel like anyone did that great. I mean, I didn't
it's
hate Gillibrand's performance.
It's so interesting.
I thought it was...
Look, for me, the second night was about whether or not Biden was destroyed.
And he was.
I
for
think
me,
he was.
That's
I
imperative.
Think he kind of was thoroughly destroyed. And but, I think he will keep... I think he's... he like, Joel was saying that he's, like, hopefully, knock on wood, he's, like, the Jeb of this cycle where mm-hmm. it's, like...
Well, here's the thing. Like, he... Like, it came up, like, he always looks good based on how we compare him to, like,
yes.
But in this kind of situations, he doesn't shine.
It's all relative.
No, and he never
looks,
has.
But he mm-hmm. looks bad next to these
you
people.
You remember it's his third time doing it. And it's like, it's never worked before. Mm-hmm. Why will it work now when we think of you as an all-star? And honestly, Biden was actually going to be my I don't think so, honey, today. But I'll just say this yeah. now. I'll figure it out later. I'll just improvise. But Biden obviously thought that he was going to come into these debates mm-hmm. and make it all about Trump, and he was not going to engage with his primary opponents, and he sorely underestimated
yeah.
his primary opponents, namely Kamala Harris, who yeah. made him look like a fool and called him out very, very hard on that stage.
That girl
and
was
had,
me
was
fucking,
not ready for it.
That girl was me moment, I was just like, oh, holy shit.
I bought the t-shirt.
Good for you.
I went to that fucking website and bought that t-shirt. I've given her a lot of money.
And I love that Kamala chose the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt font and logo treatment. It looks great.
But look, no, I mean, love the aggressive of Warren's logo. I think it's...
Oh, yeah.
It's as subtle as she is, it's such a bold choice.
It's such a bold choice. Actually, you know who has a great sort of design treatment to her campaign is Marianne.
She's really? Got, what she, is
she's it? She's working with deep, dark purples and like really tasteful, not millennial, but like a tasteful pink. So purple and pink, like not blue and red, like not really like yeah. red, white, and blue, but just like a fun little like mix of like a little acid tinged whatever.
Yeah, she's a loon. She's of course she's going to have a great color
and,
scheme.
And so and,
she is a loon. Girlfriend, you are so on. Girlfriend, you are so on.
And I would tell a girlfriend, you are so on.
I would tell a girlfriend, you are so on.
My first call would be to the Prime Minister of New Zealand. New Zealand.
She said that it's going to be the best race to raise your children. And
actually,
I said,
apparently,
you are so on.
People like experts placed it, her accent as being the... thought to be extinct mid-Atlantic accent, like Audrey Hepburn in Breakfast at Tiffany's, like Holly Golightly, like, Governor USO. And but like,
I think that accent is a Klonopin accent.
No.
She is.
God, I mean. And Mr. President, if you're listening.
If you're listening. Honestly, the like sensuality with a, if
that.
You're listening.
And it's the eyebrows.
I think you know what you're doing.
If you look back at the videos, it's her eyebrows. It's the eyebrows are doing so much work.
Can I say, I thought the first two times she spoke were not bad.
No.
Because I actually thought she makes a really good point. In a way, didn't really have a space in this particular debate, mm-hmm. but I think it is a good point overall to say that we have a sickness healthcare system. We don't actually have a healthcare system.
I know what she was trying to say, but it's
well,
like
she said what she was trying to say.
But then, like people, like could you know, people could just pin like all like their crazy like
well,
anti-New
yes.
Age bullshit on, and be like, oh my god, she's being very mm-hmm. pseudosciencey and all that.
Say
stuff.
Say what you
stuff.
Want. That was not. A kooky thing to
it was
say
not that,
that we, no, as a, we as a nation are not focused on wellness. That's it's not kooky. It doesn't have a place in this debate, really. But it's also not inaccurate.
Sure.
It's just the thing. The way she speaks is she's always five words away from saying the most insane thing in the
mm-hmm.
world. There's just like you. If you throw in five more words, it's going to be out of the field.
And that's why it's so tragic that they that fucking Chuck Todd, who I'm just going to spoil. Well, no, is my I don't think so, honey.
Wow.
But she got cut off after the New Zealand, after Girlfriend, You Are So On. Like, she was gonna, talk more about raising children in the U.S.
Honestly, I would have let her go. I would have just been like, I mean, just for shits and giggles, we have to hear
it. Just let her
talk. Let her talk. We're not hearing her again. Are they making cuts after this? They have
no,
to.
No, I think the next round is still maybe the same thing where it's
oh
like,
my God.
To qualify, you just have to meet some donor minimum. So I think
it's not
we
about
might
like
see
them cutting. It's just people going, we're not going to give you any more money.
But I think
do we have to send her money for comedy
purposes? She's
oh
been,
my God. That's how you get people as president. You know that, right?
This is exactly
what
happened in 2016.
The scuttlebutt
is that she's, of course she's gotten, I mean, my whole timeline today on Twitter was Marianne. And I think a lot of,
she is an icon now.
From what I'm hearing is that her donations have spiked. I mean, have
holy
surged.
Shit.
Oh yeah, she retweeted her being the most Googled name today. Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. All you have to be is the star of the election.
You have to
be a spectacle.
The star
of the election will go far. I say this all the time. I always say the star of the election will win.
So we might be looking at President Gong.
Oh, God.
President Gong, you are so wrong. Honestly.
Honestly.
Just think about her doing the oath of office.
The oath of office.
The oath
is that
of
what
office.
It's called?
What is it called?
Wait, what are you talking about?
It's like swearing in.
The swearing in, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Taking the oath.
Oh, the oath of office. I'm sorry. I don't know.
What the fuck?
I thought you were talking about the State of the Union or something.
No, I said taking the oath of office, which is a thing.
Got it. I'm sorry.
Stupid bitch. Don't ever point your finger at me like you did for me, Ocarina of Time, ass.
White.
I'll kill you, you white bitch.
I'll kill you, you white.
You are white and stupid, too.
Wow, that's harsh. I would never want that directed at me.
Oh no, this happens.
You know
all
what,
the time.
Solomon? You're
don't
white
you,
too.
I swear to God,
you're a white bitch.
I swear to God,
you dumb white.
Oh my God,
Bowen is the model minority here. I am not.
Oh
my
no. God,
not this in my history, not in my life. Would I allow? You can call me a bitch,
but
you cannot call me white. I will scream into the ethers. I would fall apart. I'd rip my hair off if I woke up with a white skin.
Speaking of white and being literally translucent, you know who didn't register to me at all last night was fucking Bernie. Bernie might as well have been invisible.
He was there.
It's interesting that like no one was like Bernie didn't really like strike anything with anybody, but like the only real observation people made about Bernie was that like, wow, the breadth of topics that people are talking about and like the policy positions that people are taking are, you know, and I will agree with this, are directly affected by Bernie Sanders.
Oh, like, of course.
Yeah. Like everyone's pushed to the left, and it's like, great. Yeah, like, good for him.
And I think that's a great thing to have as your also historical point. So that's why it's like, I think he should just be happy with what he actually did for the landscape.
I absolutely agree.
Yes. And maybe he ends up
and including his supporters should feel that way as well, too. They should just be happy what he did with.
I do not
think he should get the nomination. I will not be happy.
I'm not saying he should, but I'm saying.
I will not be happy.
I will not have a problem with it.
I'll have a problem
with
it.
He's one of is he like one of the three people who's
the top
pulling in
three
the double digits?
Are Warren, Sanders, Biden, and Biden.
Yeah, yeah.
It is Biden still out in front, and we'll see if the debate has a impact on this.
Oh, it
often,
sure,
off,
sure. Has
it, well, we it should, but it often actually does not.
It always does.
No,
but it was actually
always.
This is one is more rated, highly rated than the others, though.
I agree that it should. We it will be remain to be seen. By the time this comes out, we may know.
I mean, Marianne.
I mean,
most searched person.
Yeah, she's our
president. I would say this.
Our president.
I would say this. Despite being by far the most embarrassing person on stage, she will surge in front of like Hickenlooper.
For sure.
Yeah.
She will move to the center.
Yeah, in front.
Oh no! Yeah, she's for sure going to kick out of Beto.
I think
she can do that.
Wow, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah,
that's...
I bet you. Watch, this is what happened. This is what happened with Trump.
We're over here, like,
oh, this little auxiliary weirdo. She ain't gonna do much halfway through.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
Also, she's got the Oprah connection.
She's got the Oprah connection, but Oprah wouldn't stop.
Oh, of course not. Oprah. No. However, Oprah also has Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz. So maybe we shouldn't just. I keep forgetting that element about Oprah is that she. Surround yourself with some amazing black people and the worst white people in the world.
Yeah, Oprah has flies on her.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah, she is Dr. Phil.
What were we gonna say? But did you watch this clip of like an old Super Soul Sunday interview between Marianne?
I did not watch that clip. No,
it's so fun. What was it?
I'm sure it is. I'm sure that she has good things to say about spiritual wellness if you actually want to engage.
I think there was a piece of gay information that was somebody put in the air.
A piece of
about
gay information. Title of app.
Marianne, that she was.
A piece of gay information.
That's good.
The Marianne.
I think, wasn't she roommates with Laura Dern?
Laura Dern. Yes, Laura Dern. Yes.
Is that, which is the most iconic gay shit I've ever heard in my life.
Which also is like, I can know, like, oh, now I know that character from Big Little Lies came from.
No, because yes. You know that Renata Klein has two sessions a week with Marianne Williams.
Absolutely.
100%.
There's 100%. No way.
Renata Klein thinks that Marianne calms her down.
Yeah, Laura Dern is not that person at all.
No. That's how I feel like Laura Dern is able to play that person. Mm-hmm. Shall we talk about Big Little Lies a little bit?
Sure.
Have you been watching?
I've not watched any of this season.
Oh, bitch.
Yet.
It's okay, wonderful. Well, let's just say we're talking about cartoons.
Oh,
honey.
It's a full cartoon. Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
It's a full cartoon.
I do that thing where I wait till it's all out and watch it.
You do.
I get that.
See, I like that. We were talking about this.
I like that it's week to week.
Me too.
I like week to week for certain things. Like Drag Race, week to week.
Yeah.
I love that, of course.
I'm not a binger of Drag Race.
No, I need to be. I watch it twice. I watch it.
Yes,
when I go out,
uh-huh,
and then I watch it again to make sure I didn't miss anything.
Yes, you guys are multiple watchers. I just can't even sit through. Mm-hmm. No, I can sit. I just stopped watching after this season. I will start watching again.
Where do you watch it in Los Angeles?
I mean, what? I'm not the first person who's told you that this has not been the best season.
You know what? People say that,
but
and they learn their lessons later. Because like season 7 was considered one of the worst seasons. Literally,
it holds up.
No,
it holds up.
Every
one of those queens is usually some of the best queens.
Yeah. Of course, Trixie and Katya and Violet,
even Jasmine.
Like literally all of them. Like you can't even name a bad one in the group.
I said after season 7, even immediately after it stopped, mm-hmm, I was like, it really firmed up by the end where the mm-hmm top three I really fucking loved. Or the top four, five. Katya, Kennedy, Pearl, and Violet, and fucking Ginger. That's a good top five.
Yeah, I think stuff appears boring initially.
Yes.
Because especially when you're, since we're literally, watching seasons back to back to each other.
Uh-huh.
But in the scope of time, when I watch seasons again, I'm just like, that was excellent. It was amazing.
I clocked it back then, but 12, it's just, or 12, 11, it was just like, I mean, the tea that's been coming out about the reshoots and stuff,
yeah, it's bad. Yeah.
It's
bad. I love that. I love that they were like, not good enough. I love that they tried to make Evie Oddly a villain and failed.
And tried to make fucking
Silky
a hero and failed.
And that's what I love that aspect.
But I don't know.
It
was working for me, though. I liked Silky so mm-hmm much more than Evie. I famously do not appreciate Evie Oddly at all. No, I know it sucks for me, but I don't get it and won't get it going forward.
See, I wish I could have some response to any of
this. We live two different lives.
We truly do, and that's fine. Also, I heard the season 12 calls are going out right now.
Yes.
Oh, for...
Because they just finished All-Stars.
AS5.
Did they finish them?
I think they're almost done or should be done soon.
I can't believe we're getting another All-Stars so soon. That is too much.
I'm more excited about this one.
Who is in it?
Cracker.
Do we have an unconfirmed list of who's in
it?
I
know Shay.
Cracker Shay.
Shay is.
Yeah.
That's what we've been waiting for. Is Asia? But
I don't know.
Asia. I hear Asia is.
There's a lot of rumors. I think the rumors are Shay, Cracker.
Kimchi? No.
No.
Kimchi's never doing it.
I want her to do it again.
She won't
so
do it.
Badly.
She doesn't want to.
She's a great look queen, but those challenges are not her.
They're
game.
Not made for her. It's, she would. She can see All Stars and she knows she would crash and burn. Yeah.
But I just think
it was by the grace of God she even made the top of three in her own season.
She has the most followers out of all the queens.
I know.
She has the, there's literally no reason for her to do it again.
I know, but just her.
You just want an Asian with a crown, don't you?
No, it's not that. It's just, she was just a very emotional.
I think someone should by now. It's insane that that's not happening.
Sure. I mean, it's fine. I'm particularly.
Plastique is there, though.
Plastique is All-Stars 5. I just think Kimchi's arc was just the most emotional arc for me on All-Star.
Because she's still
Race.
Not even out to her.
And I fucking.
Still to this day, which is fucking insane.
I am obsessed.
Like, you are a superstar.
Yeah.
And just
a global
element.
Superstar. Yeah. Anyway, it's just, it's Shakespearean. I just love it. Anyway, Drag Race, I think, yeah, I'll watch 11.
You didn't miss anything on the season. I mean, this is the most wooden.
But
Solomon, I think that we can say that season 7 holds up. We can also, I can make a prediction, and I will write in a small envelope and put it on top of that desk. And it
was pointed at a bookshelf, listeners.
I will argue this.
And I will say season 12 doesn't hold up. And in 5 years, we'll all come back here and we'll open it up. And during season 17 of RuPaul's Drag Race, season 11 will not hold up.
Oh, yes. You mean season 11
is what I meant to say.
Yes.
I don't think it will hold up. I don't think they were compelling characters. I think the winner was a 5. I think that, like...
Okay, first of all...
In the grand scheme, Solomon, I don't think Evie is that great.
That was the best lip sync.
Which one?
Her versus Brooklyn Heights.
I agree with you. Yeah. It was a great lip sync.
Both of them. 100%. I'm talking about both of them.
I do say both of them. I am on record saying that I think that was a fantastic lip sync. Both of them, one of the best in the series history. But as a season, the fact that that was the only moment, it was the only moment, Solomon.
We lived two different lives.
Well, what is your life?
Look, I think the tensions were fantastic. Vanjie... I don't think there's been a better description of anyone walking down the runway than the way Vanjie describes her looks. Such, there's no breath taken. She doesn't really describe anything you're visually seeing, which is even better.
Vanjie's great.
I'm very hook on Rodeo Drive. I'm serving you cake.
I'm wearing boots up, down the street. And she's like, I think she's wearing heels. But yeah.
I got my boots on, got my dress on. I'm looking good. Ha! Vanjie!
I'm flipping tricks. I'm eating dicks. I'm doing whatever I need to do to make sure these judges see me for who I am, what I'm doing. They're going to love this look. I'm going to pop it. I'm going to lock it. I'm going to stop. And I'm like,
she giving you attitude. You know she bad.
Bitch, you're just walking really fast. Calm the fuck down.
Wow.
I do love her runway walk. And I actually, like, most of the time I thought she looked great on the runway. And I always understood Michelle's critiques. But I was like, ugh, who cares? It kind of was like Alyssa syndrome, where it was like, you never are mad.
Well,
you're never mad.
Here's the issue that I had with, like, because she keeps pointing out the bodysuit issue, which is like, I don't see what the problem is. Compared to like the seasons past, like bitches couldn't get outfits like that.
Yeah, bitches
couldn't get their tuck like that.
Well, this is where the conversation gets less fun, and it's like the whole Drag Race industrial complex of it all, where we expect so fucking much from these queens.
Exactly.
Like,
that's why I'm having a problem with your
is what it is.
Because what I saw this season was so fucking amazing, and none of it was easy. Like, Kyria's outfits, I think, were some of the fucking most insane things I've seen in my life.
Kyria looks great on the runway.
Like, it's,
you know, what's interesting, actually, and I'm sorry to cut anybody off, but it's the kind of competition show that demands so much, that the audience demands so much from its contestants over as the series gets bigger and bigger and as it progresses. So it's not like you're watching Top Chef and you're like, I'm bored. Like, I've seen this before. Or that you're like, I wish they would do more. Like, well, you know, like they have more resources now. Like, you know, because it's not like Top Chef, you're not thinking that. Like, you know, talent competitions, you're not really like, snore. I saw, you know, this person reminds me of this. Or, like, maybe to on some level, like I guess with Idol it sort of happened. But it's like, you're like, with Project Runway, you're just, you're not like, they're... The bar keeps getting raised so much, and that it's not scaling with the audience, and we don't have a sense of like how it proportionizes.
To me, my only problem is this season was devoid of wit, intelligence, and soul.
It's what I said,
and it's exactly what you
what
said.
I said.
Go ahead and say, make your point on here. Las Culturistas.
I said on What the Talk when Matt was hosting with Mono, that at the beginning of the season, I think this was like episode 3. It was
early. Yeah,
I came in early, and I was like, I don't think there's anyone on this season 11, whose brain I want to be like, whoa, like, what's your mind? Like, you have such an incredible mind. Yeah. There's no like Bob or Alaska or Katya or, you know, Trixie or someone on season 10, like even like Asia, like people who are just so
or even the fashion forwardness of Aquaria. You know what I mean?
Yes, like, even Aquaria. I'm just like, you guys are so creative. Yeah. Wow.
And honestly, the closest person that came to that, I will concede,
is
was
Evie.
I will be honest. It is truly the dumbest group of
dark
queens,
absolutely,
in the history of the show. Like, it was pretty surprising because, like, especially the rest of the seasons were, I'm like, these bitches are brilliant.
Yes. Geniuses.
Like, and you get like that, like it'd be like, it's like it was almost like a season of like Derek Barry level intelligence.
Yes, very that. And I would let's just go through it. Tell me Bob the drag queen doesn't win this season walking in.
Oh, he won. Yeah.
Tell me Aquaria doesn't win this season walking in.
Not necessarily.
Absolutely, she does, hands down. Hands
not for me.
Down.
Up against,
not for me.
Like,
you think that against Evie, Ali, Aquaria doesn't win.
No, oh, wait, walking into their season?
Oh, wait, what are you talking about? Like a winter season?
No. I'm not saying winter season. I'm saying Aquaria in season 11.
Oh, got it.
Wins hands down.
Yeah, sure.
Compared to everyone else?
Yes.
We live two different lives.
That's crazy to me.
I love her so much, but she's not, like, that's probably the only one I will contest.
Okay, then.
Before, I used to contest the one before, but then I came in.
Sasha Velour?
Yeah.
No, I think, yeah. That to me is a dark horse win. The definition of a dark horse win.
Here's the thing.
But it was a deserved win.
I think it was a deserved win, and especially going to her shows afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh,
that
this
bitch is something else.
She's an artist.
The winner. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She won.
I would say that there were four queens in season 9 that would have beat Evie Oddly. And they were all the top four.
That is tough. That's tough. Because I think Evie Oddly can hold her own. And Evie Oddly is young enough to keep going.
I'm just saying, in terms of season 11, this is my point about season 11, is it was a dumbed down season. It was a watered down season.
That's like a meaner way to say it.
But I'm
going to
be honest with you. Yeah. The, like, one thing that I think would save the fucking... Like, I get what you're saying, but also I think going for... I just said 30 minutes needs to go away from the show.
Yeah,
100%.
Absolutely.
100%. It's literally they're trying to drive some weird, like, I don't understand.
It must be like ad sales, like they make more money off of it or something. Like,
but I just can't imagine. Like, it's like, because at some point I'm like, most of these ads are just VH1 shows.
Right.
Give me an hour.
Yeah, and like, well, Boy Butter. And
Yeah. I mean, I do miss that logo aspect of it. Mm-hmm. To me, the epitome of like what was wrong with this season were those Maury-esque videos they did at the end of the finale.
Those I actually loved.
I did not love
because
them.
I saw them for what they were, stupid as fuck and a waste of time. I love that element.
I agree they were stupid, but that was a time filler, and I was like, where the fuck is Rue? You know what I mean? I was like, Rue is not here anymore.
That's the best part. Like, that's what I love is when they decide, like, Rue doesn't want to do this. What are we going to do to fill the time?
And see, I hate that. I
think it looks bad now, but I bet you when you rewatch it later, you're going to be like, this is so stupid.
It's
so fun.
Are we going to look back on season 11 nostalgically and be like, oh, what a great season, because it's actually good, or... because the show is going to get worse as the years go by.
Like, fingers crossed it gets worse. I'm here for a sinking ship.
There you go.
I like things falling apart from the inside. Because it gives the ability for better things to come along.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Better TV, better drag stuff to come along.
I agree.
And then you can just... And then you get to enjoy that last queen who's like, no one cares about me. And you're like, oh... And I love a queen whose career starts off rocky and doesn't go anywhere at the end.
Damn.
I will say this.
It was bound to happen. The show was bound to, like, slope down.
Turn down.
Yeah.
It reached its imperial phase. I will say this. If I'm a drag queen out there right now, I'm fucking really trying to get my tape. I'm trying to get on the show for season 12, season 13, the latest.
Yeah.
Because it's like, bitch, I mean... It's time now, because that show is going to, it's going to start dipping.
Time.
I mean, the ratings are already going down.
True, but it's time now, but it's also literally so many other venues or drag queens are now more accessible than they used to be.
Absolutely, that is true.
There's
true. I mean, on our own network.
Shows, web series that people are actually watching, people caring about. Like, it's going to, like, there's names of local queens that are becoming more well known, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like the amount of queens that I know from here and I never would have known them before. Yeah.
And you know them because you saw them on TV or on the internet or, like, you know, whatever.
I mean, Britta Filter is more booked this Pride than she's ever been in her fucking life. Yeah. Mm. I mean, Britta is everywhere and she's never been on the show. And
I literally heard about her before I even came to New York for a visit.
Oh, yeah. No, she's the real deal.
There were four queens at this party last night. Did you hear about the party last
night? Wait, what? Can you spill all the tea on this party?
Yeah, it was fine.
There's a party last night?
There was a party last night. It was fine.
Hi.
No, it was actually great.
I was not.
It was actually great. And I'm really, really glad. I say it's fine because I'm so fucking hungover and I am on 3 hours of sleep and I went into work. And then, no, I went into this meeting with Matt, this breakfast meeting.
Oh, we had a breakfast meeting.
A power breakfast. it was these four drag queens, West Dakota, Selena T, and Harajuku, and one other. But they came on and did Lady Marmalade, and then Lil Kim herself pops out during her verse.
I mean, Kim herself.
But this was the scuttlebutt. Like, they were like a special midnight performance, special midnight guest, like, coming out, and like, I had heard from Fran Tirado, deputy editor at magazine who organized the party, was like, come, and then you were supposed to go.
I was supposed to go, but I had to record.
I know.
I'm on an animated show.
A show, and so
wow.
Our cartoon president on Showtime.
Our cartoon president.
Wow.
Were you? Can you spill the tea? Were you Pete? You're Mayor Pete?
I can spill all the tea. I'm Ben Shapiro. I'm Mayor Pete. And I'm Bill Shine.
I love that.
Wonderful, wonderful.
The great, great casting. but yeah, Lil' Kim pops out. And she did.
Wow.
Yeah, she
did what was that like?
It was cool.
Is she a little munchkin?
She's a little munchkin. So she sounds nothing like she used to.
Even better.
It's interesting how her timbre went like goes up. Now she's like, you know.
Come through the man in the gun.
Yeah. It was so squeaky and
because her voice was so deep. Because
you think Lil Kim on the track and it's like deep and husky.
She looks like Minnie Mouse.
And now she was like, I love you so much. I'm so happy to be celebrating with. And it was like kind of like jarring, but like, you know what? It's fucking
no, her voice when she speaks is a higher timbre.
It is that. Sure. But when she's rapping, maybe it was
she's like a reverse Maya.
She's a reverse Maya.
Because Maya has a husky voice when she speaks. And then the second she sings, you're like, what is this?
Yeah. That's so funny. But yeah, she was there and it was great. It was a fun time. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway.
Very jealous. We love that.
But what was I going to say? Oh, no. Yeah. But these queens were paid so well for doing
good.
This.
They make fucking bank.
Yeah. Oh, and Alaska was there too. Alaska intro
the
girls.
I did see that someone recorded Alaska.
Alaska has this new song called Pride that she performed. And one of the rhymes is something, 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 pride. And then the next one is Stonewall, nobody died.
It's fantastic. At Stonewall, nobody died. Oh, yes. I saw her perform it Wednesday.
Oh, great.
The opening ceremonies.
Oh, at Barclays?
Yes.
I didn't go to this fucking thing. And Britta was there, but I didn't go to this fucking
thing.
It was fun.
Chaka Khan was there.
Chaka?
What did she sing? I'm Every Woman.
She opened it with...
I Think I Love You.
That's the first song. No. She did...
I Feel For
Nobody.
You. Ain't Nobody.
Ain't Nobody.
Yeah. We need Ain't Nobody.
I Feel Sorry With I Feel For You, then Ain't Nobody. And then she ended with I'm Every Woman.
Great.
Wow. Shaka is forever. Shaka was on Watch What Happens last week and fucking slayed. Shaka was like, Andy was like, what can you tell us about the late prince? Mm-hmm. And she was like, he was lonely.
She is.
And then he goes, were you guys close? And she was like, not in the last year.
The last year.
And then
she's so good.
He goes, what can you tell us about Aretha Franklin? You're one of her few friends. And she goes, yeah, well, she didn't have time for anyone else.
She's so, like, indignant.
Shaka is it.
Oh,
Shaka is it. And she also looks absolutely smashed.
Yeah,
her
crazy.
And Grace Jones are hands down such iconic people. And the way they speak and just are, like, matter of fact about absolutely not, like, don't bother me with that. I don't want to know that. It's just like, what are you doing?
It's also these women that are, like, still around, that, like, Patti LaBelle's of it all, like, the Shappas of it all. It's like, whenever Whitney gets... I forget, Aaron Jackson mentioned the other day that, like, he thinks it was an interview with Patti LaBelle, which was, like, she was being asked about Whitney, and she was like, yeah, you know, when Whitney got older, and her voice went away. I never lost my voice.
Oh!
Like, they can't stop. They can't stop themselves.
Oh,
I never lost my voice.
It has to be
a
loop back to them.
I love that. It's so...
I never lost my voice.
Oh my God.
That's so fucking good.
So good.
Wow. You know, there was one of my favorite stories about, I think it was Grace Jones. It was Studio 54. It was when Bianca Jagger showed up nude in the white horse. And Grace Jones was in the corner. Was like, I did that last year on a white tiger.
I think I heard about this. Yes, that's
it. I did that last year. On a white tiger.
Girlfriend, you are so on.
Girlfriend, you are so on. And I said, girlfriend, you are so on. I tell a girlfriend. You guys have them.
If you're listening,
Donald Trump, if you're listening, I think you know what you're doing. And I'll see you on the field.
And love will win.
No, she goes, I will harness love for political gain. And I will meet you.
Political
and then
gain.
She goes, or political whatever. And she goes, I will meet you on that field. And sir, she goes, sir.
And sir,
love will win.
I just want to take this moment to please vote for Elizabeth Warren at every Friday.
Yes. Please do everything you can to get Elizabeth Warren.
I am now. So prior to the debates, I was like fully in the tank for Warren.
Despite I had given more money to Kamala.
Mm-hmm. And now I've given even more money to Kamala. And I am a Kamala supporter. I am a Kamala and Warren supporter. I support them both. I'm looking forward to supporting them both all the way to the end until they're the final two. And then I'll make my decision.
They took a very cute selfie. And I'm sorry that I'm describing it in these very, like, you know, I don't mean to be patronizing.
Are
stop white
pejorative towards women?
No, but they took such a cute selfie. I think last night or the night before, it was just like, oh, these two fucking
Well, they do icons. Like each other. I genuinely believe that most people up there like each other. In fact, like in the debate, in the second night debate, they even said, like, I just want to say there's a lot of people up here with great ideas. But to me, it's just like the big story of it.
Yeah.
Is that Biden isn't prepared.
Yes. Which and that's is
what I love.
Yeah, I love that too. It's what I love.
That is one thing I truly enjoy about so many awful white men is that they just
get their comeuppance.
That is the definition of privilege.
If he, like, he wouldn't gotten his comeuppance if this was a Republican.
Totally.
But since he's going up against
people. Like, yeah, I think it's the definition of privilege to wait to announce last, coast on your, buddy's accomplishments fucking time, and then act like you are like entitled to success in these debates and success in this primary. You have a lot of amazing politicians that are up there that have been working for this since the moment Trump got elected, maybe even before. And I have always been someone who's had his eye on Kamala, and I actually saw her speak at a fundraiser.
I went to a fundraiser
in Los Angeles with Nico, shout out, and Greta and Abe, and we all went, and I gave money, and I felt like I was watching someone who could be president speak.
Wow.
And she said, and she looked everyone in the eyes, and she said, I fully intend to win this election. And I bought it. And that's the thing about her last night is I bought every word she said, and I bought her as a leader and as a president. And most importantly, I think in the immediacy of it all, I bought her as someone who can make Trump look fucking stupid.
Well, she's very good at forensic stuff, at just like debate, at like breaking, at like poking holes in your argument.
She's much more like she's much more tactful about being at attacking people.
Yeah. She'll walk you right up to the cliff.
Yeah,
she's a prosecutor. Like she gets it. Yeah,
Which is sort of why I want Warren more.
See, I it doesn't matter to me which one of them is president. I just think I want them both in there as long as possible, and I want them in.
Yes.
I want them in positions of power in our government.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and they are already. But you know,
I truly just
a leader's a leader.
I want of those. I think it just doesn't make any sense because there's whatever man you want to vote for in this primary, there is literally a woman of equal or greater value than
absolutely.
Men. So it's insane to even support
including Marianne. Now,
someone said to me, he's like, let me
if you're going
to
vote for Biden, vote for Marianne.
Someone said to me, they were like, let me float this ticket by you, Warren and Booker. I'm like, see, why? I was like, why when there's Kamala there? You get everything and more. It doesn't make any sense.
It was like when Hillary fucking brought Tim Kaine on with her. I was like, who the
why?
The Spanish, honestly. How dare which is we? LOL. Oh,
that's insane.
LOL ironic. Well, and because he was kind of like a centrist.
He was the most
guy.
I would rather have her put a cup of tapioca pudding in front of me and be like, this is my vice president. I'm like, well, I'll vote for
tapioca. No, I got reminded of another thing Marianne said was just a really quick offhand thing was she goes, and you can have a young body but old ideas.
Yes. Like you can have a young body but old ideas.
It's very funny.
Honestly, that
an
was...
icon. And you know what? So, like I said before, so fucking what if she's not going to make it that far. I mean, maybe she like changes minds and changes minds for the worse and like makes more people anti-vax or whatever, which actually is.
Yeah.
But even if she was an anti-vax, ex-homophobe, like I said, she's a fun Anita Bryant and don't we stand.
No, they came for her hard on The View too.
Oh no, she should for sure. She should be on TV.
She should be on TV.
For sure. She should just be on TV.
She should be on TV. No, but she
Drag Race Judge.
She has a blog on her.
You know Rue loves her.
She has a blog on her website, and she like posted a clip of her on The View, and then the title of it was that she wrote was Meghan McCain, bless your heart. Like you try to come for me, and you told me straight up to drop out of this race, and I will never do like blah 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 blah.
She literally said, "Meghan McCain,
bless your heart."
Meghan McCain on The View today was like, actually nicer than Sonny was. Sonny was like, I was embarrassed for her. It was like cruel. Sonny was like being kind of cruel, and Meghan McCain was just like, this provided me so much entertainment. I had a bunch of people over. Maybe I'm meaner than you guys, but I was laughing my ass off at this. And Sonny was like, I was embarrassed for her. I was really embarrassed for her. Like, in my 16-year-old son said, what is it to run for president? And I said, all you have to be is a certain age, but that doesn't mean you should. Like, it was just like, okay, bitch, she's gonna drop out. She's not gonna be president.
Damn. Take it easy.
Although,
Sudi said she thought it made us look stupid as a party, and I don't agree with that.
I don't really think so.
I don't think it's bad to have a diversity of opinion, even if it's weird opinions.
And
that's all.
Well, what was I going to say? Oh, fucking God. Could you imagine a worse social situation than a fucking viewing party at Meghan McCain's?
Oh, oh my
what
God.
What a fucking nightmare.
I would scream in so many languages. It would be... Oh, God.
Before we get to I Don't Think So, Honey, how's it been for writing on Shrill?
Oh, my God, yes.
It's really... I've been really lucky, especially this job and the last job I had. It's been Women Run Rooms.
Yes.
And it is the most efficient, fun spaces I've ever been in my life.
You got
and
some great people in
it's
there.
It's hands down. Like, and, like, I can't... Like, I'm counting my lucky stars, and I'm worried that... everything will be taken from me because it's been way too nice.
No, wow. Stop.
I'm rewatching the first season now, and it's really, so really, good. Really
it
good.
Makes me, because I've actually, I've known Lindy West.
Oh, really?
Right.
Yes. I'm in the book.
You're in the book.
Briefly mentioned Solomon Giorgio. That's my first credit.
Briefly mentioned in Shrill by Lindy West. Mm-hmm.
No, I was living in Seattle, and right when I started comedy, that's when I became friends with her. And so it was bananas to be in the room with her, because every once in a while, we just look at each other like, TV show.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
So cool. That's like, so cool.
Because like we were like, oh, we were just 20 something not that long ago. And now it's like, oh wow,
wild.
This is bananas.
It's so cool.
Pretty cool.
And you're so, like it's so crazy how that works out. Where it's like you're this qualified, amazing comedian and writer.
Look, I'm amazing, qualified. Let's not just throw that out.
Amazing, qualified. No.
Yes. No. Thank you.
And then you know, and Sudi loves you.
She's Sudi is truly a saint.
She's an icon.
She's
Sudi just fucking blows Marianne out of the water in terms of iconography.
Sudi blows Marianne out of the water. It's actually Real Culture number 44. Sudi blows Marianne out of the water. Sudi said to me the other day, she goes, I will not enthusiastically support a man for president. I was like, even if he's the nominee? And she goes, no.
Yeah.
I mean, she'll vote for him.
I mean, yes. But I was thinking to myself after she said that, I was like, she often says things and I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
and
then 15
minutes,
so belligerent.
And then 15 minutes later, I'm like, she's right.
Because she'll break it down for you.
Yeah. And, like, we had this whole thing. I'm not shy about saying this. Like, remember when we were at my house over the summer and it was right after Ariana Grande had worn that dress at Aretha Franklin's funeral.
Yes, yes.
And I was like, I mean, she could have dressed appropriately for the funeral.
And
she was like,
Sudi
she pointed
and I
at
were...
me and she was like, no, you always take the side of the woman in this situation. She would wear whatever she wants.
Yes.
And it'd feel good
she's
to say
so
that
right.
And I was like, Sudi. And then afterwards I was like, no, she's right. She should wear whatever
she
wants.
Of course she's right.
Yeah, she's always right.
And then the whipsaw to that is that Ariana got fucking groped.
Yeah, but that was totally separate from what I was saying.
Yeah, but
and fuck you for bringing it up.
I'm not saying that you tied it to that argument, but I'm saying like for Ari, it's like she wore a thing and then like that was an invitation, an unopened, like
mm-hmm.
an uninvited thing for someone to like fucking her, you know, touch her. So yeah,
that was totally separate from what I was saying.
No, that's not. I'm not. Stop.
You are by bringing it up. You are saying that.
Okay, you're right.
You
actually.
Know what? I yeah.
Thank you, Salman. By taking no side at all, you're taking.
No, he took my side.
I took neither side.
He took neither.
I see how both of them are right, and I'm okay to not select one.
And it's actually very modern to hold two conflicting ideas in your head at the same time.
Just like Joe Biden.
Just like Joe Biden.
Constant conflicting ideas.
Constant conflicting ideas. Pick
I don't think
one.
I feel like he's never approved of himself in his head.
Wow.
He has, like, he's, I think that's all false bravado.
I mean, talk about someone who's truly sat there and just as truly our government has fallen into the like, separate, like, sex that it is. I mean, he's been involved the whole fucking time.
And he just has all these terrible, terrible marks on his right. I mean, just
also,
like the Anita Hill stuff.
And if we don't have like his career, insane. But can we talk about his selection of new teeth? Why is it impossible?
He don't look good.
Like someone once famously said, "Do celebrities know that teeth come in medium?"
I love.
Do celebrities know that teeth come in medium?
Wow.
Because they just go for the biggest new set of chompers, and it's bananas because it's so brilliant white. And it's like, what are you
doing? Why old? 100%.
Oh, my God.
Wow. All right, well, it's time for I Don't Think So, Honey.
Yes, this is our segment where we take 1 minute to go off on culture. Solomon, veteran of the form, who came up because we had some dropouts, as we do at our shows. Our last Brooklyn show, we had a couple dropouts. Solomon was in attendance anyway.
He was in attendance, and we said,
I literally
please stop
texted
the
him,
stage.
Can you come up after the second half? And he was like, absolutely. Came up, fucking killed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, he didn't even know he's gonna do the show as like until like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
What a fucking
look,
genius.
I just have a lot of things to be unhappy about.
I love that.
A lot of I don't think so's just flowing through me at all times.
Flowing through. Okay, so let's start with Matt. You have something?
I can go first. I think I do. I mean, my I don't think so honey was Joe Biden, but
I'm gonna stick to mine.
I can still do my thing.
Yes. Okay, I think you still can. This is Matt Rogers. I don't think so honey's time starts now.
I don't think so honey Hickenlooper.
Uh-huh.
Who the fuck are you? What did you do? I'm not even kidding you. Do I remember one thing you said?
From the debate,
Don't think so, honey. Like, it's not even about you having bad ideas or bad positions. It's the fact that I don't recall anything that happened. I know you stood to the left of Marianne. Literally, I know where you were in relation to Marianne, bitch. Do I remember anything you did or said? I don't think so,
30
honey.
Seconds.
I also want to say, I don't think so, honey. Bennett, bitch, it's called a consonant. Chew on it.
Oh.
Bitch, you need to learn how to speak words, honey.
You're coming for my Coloradans.
I think that he should learn how to talk. Because does he know how to talk? I don't think so, honey.
15 seconds.
I don't think so, honey, really. All the white men on the stage, except Mayor Pete, who I still like. Maybe he's not the best in Solomon's words, but I still like Mayor Pete. I still find him impressive.
Five seconds.
I think he is running for vice president. Should he be president? I don't think so, honey. But I don't think so, honey, any of these white dudes.
And that's 1 minute. You like Swalwell. Did you say you would fuck Swalwell?
No, I said I would fuck Swalwell.
Oh, right.
That's a whole different story. That's a whole different thing.
Everyone's saying they'd fuck Inslee too, and I'm like, this is a weird, creepy daddy thing. Like,
Inslee,
I don't know.
As a Seattleite, what's the demonym?
Seattleite. I kind of love that.
Seattleite.
That's what it's called.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it
that's
is?
That's the term.
I kind of love. Oh, that's fun. Maybe that. No, that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, we did that.
How is Jay Inslee? Were you ever in the state when he was governor?
I think I was in the state for the very beginning of his term. And it's fine. Like, it's really one of those places where it's just like you can't really mess up because there's enough liberal votes that you can.
He's fine.
Oh, also De Blasio. That was a fucking joke.
Oh, De Blasio.
He made one good point. He made one good point about how people in this country believe that immigrants have created their bad situation when really that's all corporate bullshit.
And everybody's like, look at this turd shine. Like, calm down. Yeah. It was truly
one good point, and I do think it's like the most direct that's been said somehow.
Sure.
But like, what the fuck are you doing there, dude?
But
the city's on fire.
Fucking yeah, Hickenlooper and Bennett. You know my two Colorado daddies. Mm-hmm. So Hickenlooper is kind of an interesting. I mean, yeah, like very moderate dude.
Truly, what did he even say?
I don't remember. I didn't really watch. I didn't watch live last night. But
I'm trying to remember.
I just watched the whole thing today.
I know.
And I do not remember anything that happened.
Sure.
Also, Tim Ryan. What the hell?
Tim Ryan.
And truly. Also, the confidence these men have to even show up.
Yeah.
It was you can call in sick, buddy.
You're not going to be president.
and Delaney, some people are, it's interesting. There was like a headline that was like, Delaney cements himself as the, as like the sad sack of this primary season and stuff. It's like, well, we don't have to like think of it in those terms.
I will say this. If you're going to be a boring white guy, at least come out there with an issue. And this is what I appreciate about Inslee is he made it about climate change. He's obviously the climate change candidate.
Yeah.
And I think he's not playing to win. And that's like, fine. At least he's making a dent.
He's
and
focusing
he's,
on one policy.
And
on
he's
one
coming
issue,
for
on
a
one
cabinet
issue.
Position,
yes.
Which is like, fine.
Which is brilliant.
And
that's so great.
It is definitely shrewd. But Swalwell, too, his thing is guns. And I appreciate someone up there making it about gun control.
Yeah.
Because because it's something that, because it's not right on the tip of our tongues right now, we forget about. But it is a serious, serious problem. And I appreciate someone's up there making it about guns. And Gillibrand also, I think, is not playing to win. I think she's playing for cabinet or VP. Mm. And she's making it about a few issues as well.
Well, no, because it's brilliant because, fucking the debate questions.
They were bad. He's going to do it. I don't think so.
Yes, please. Do so.
Yeah.
I literally was about to transition into what I think you're doing. So please, by all means.
I mean, I'm just going to... Mine's not about, yeah.
Well, yeah, by all means, explain it.
We'll discuss it after.
We'll discuss it after. And it might not, I might not have too much to work off of.
Well, I love all this qualifying.
Stop.
This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey, as time starts now.
I don't think so, honey, Chuck Todd. And I'm going to go after your fucking looks, bitch. I don't like your little art bangs that you're trying out. You
so
just,
bad.
Just shave the whole thing. You'd look great with a bald head, honey. And like, you're trying to go for like, real smug, and you're bringing this like attitude to all your questions, and you're like really push. You're like, answer the question. 10 seconds. Like you're like you like. There was not this energy with Savannah or with Jose or with
Lester.
With Lester and
30
like
seconds.
You and Maddo. Maddo is also being like real like
annoying.
I'm gonna be bookish and scholarly and eye rolly and look at this guy and like I just didn't like this whole the whole like tone and tenor of the debates when they were moderating. I was like I'm not 15. Into this. Give me Savannah. Give me the straights. Give me the straights and not Chuck Todd, who, you know, I'm going to consider to be queer because he has art bangs. And so, Chuck Todd, also, you are just so, God, you've ruined Meet the Press. Meet the Press daily? No way. You run that show into the ground.
That's 1 minute.
Oh,
I think that, honestly, like, the questions were so bad.
The questions were bad.
I'm sorry, but these issues aren't one word issues, so they're gonna need to say more than one word.
It's like I wish there was like some sort of like platform, maybe on the internet, that lets you know exactly what the issues are that people are focused. Oh yeah, there is. There's literally so much. Like you could have just gotten what was the trending topics of the day from
the fucking
internet. And
he's not good.
Truly. The dumbest questions I ever thought. Could have easily have just been, what do you guys just think of Trump? Go.
Yeah.
Go. Like, yeah.
Fuck. Also, why did we need 5 moderators? Why did we need to switch?
Because of fairness or something? I don't know.
Fairness?
Because there's so many, because it was split over 2 nights, and so they needed like 2 sets of moderators so that they didn't get too fatigued or something. I don't know what the
was
the,
one of the moderators the sound
was.
Person? Because they for sure.
Oh, the sound person.
Oh, that was ridiculous, too. It was
that
a
was
fucking joke.
That was like out of fucking Veep or some shit.
Yeah, it was
That's
so
insane.
Stupid.
That's insane. That's literally the easiest thing to not mismanage, and it's just the first thing they fucked.
Oh, and then on night one, that was the night where it was about it was like asking Warren about gun control, about Parkland. It was like kind of so inappropriate and so like, oh God, this is so
it's
sad.
Like you ruined a great moment. Well, it was just
anyway. That was rough. And I mean, whoever told, I think it was Sudi that said someone obviously told Rachel Maddow and Chuck Todd they're fun together. Their bit in the beginning when Chuck was like, you know, Rachel, I had a dream we did this before. And she's like, nope, never. This is the first time. I was like, you guys, this sucks.
What is that? That's
just truly
just
painful.
Just ask the question. Just do your job. We don't need a bit.
Yeah. I'm not here for moderators having fun.
No.
Just like that honestly, or honestly, get someone in there who can write you a good joke.
Yeah.
No, because you have to understand they don't have that ability to deliver a joke.
I believe Maddow does.
Maddow does. Maddow
will throw down a dad joke like no one's business.
And Maddow will be like, Nicole Silverberg has this great observation that Rachel Maddow will like say something like, We've got 2 pages out of fucking, you know, Steve Mnuchin's tax returns from 2014. Grab your popcorn. Like, but earnestly is like, so get your popcorn ready. It's like, no, you're the wonkiest fucking person alive. Like, literally, you are a wonk. Like, you love this shit.
Oh,
and you're the only person who's interested in this, plus, like, whatever other, like, scholarly people.
Also,
but, like,
I think she truly finds funny is when she just explains something so well. And, I, like, when she gets, like, the happiest she's ever been, the most she laughs is right when she gives the final words to this whole, like, whenever, every bit. Like, she's just like, and that is why these tax returns matter. And you're like, and she's just so. Like,
yeah, she laughs hysterically at a good point.
And then she'll be like.
So happy, like.
Puppy loves the Daily Show.
She'll stick the landing and she'll be like, she'll stick the landing and she'll be like, I know! Like, that's Rachel.
And you're like, and I love her. Just talked about the ending of democracy, but here you are just, I figured it out.
I know. I
love it though. That's why I was when I was a high school.
Yeah, same. I was like that kid in Molly UN, except I sucked at it. But
valedictorian energy.
The day after Rhodes Scholar energy, the day after the election in 2016, she gave like the perfect sort of like fireside chatty like opening A block, and it was like exactly what I needed to hear, and most other Americans too. Okay, Solomon, it's time.
Okay, I have a troll bowl.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, so Solomon, you've told us that you would like to do a troll bowl.
I've always wanted to do one.
Yes, absolutely.
I have one for you.
Matt has a topic.
Solomon Giorgio, your I don't think so honey topic is pride.
and your time starts now.
I don't think so honey, pride. Okay, first of all, corporate sponsors, yeah, we get it. Every gay person needs to be represented by your fucking brand. Also, why do I have to show up to the busiest part of the fucking town? I should be at a rooftop getting high on Molly in the fucking morning.
Ooh.
I should be. Also, the morning. Why are you happening in the fucking morning?
Yes.
What? Stonewall happened at fucking night. Why are we up in the goddamn fucking morning?
30 seconds.
Also, I don't think so, honey. Pride. Are you kidding me? With the floats? What are these? They're not even shapes. I expected that all these queer people could put together a decent float.
But
all
I get
is 15 seconds.
I get four steps and a bunch of dancing go-go boys. Oh, where's the flair? Where's the fireworks? Where's the artistry? Where's the fucking drag of it all?
Yeah. 5 seconds.
And I don't think that's about it for me.
And that's 1 minute.
Honestly, you're right. There's absolutely no shapes.
There's no shapes. There's
the
no silhouettes.
The floats are so fucking obnoxious.
Well, the only like
I was on a float.
Were you?
The other two
big ones. Mm. Yes, the only big ones are the corporate ones. Like the only ones that are really embellished and like gorgeous, and you're like, wow, so much care and craftsmanship was put into this. The corporate ones.
There should be a giant Judy Garland float.
Yes, with her head.
Yes. Just a massive, just Liza Minnelli. Like, there should be more themes to things, and that's what really...
I think cut all the floats, just make it a balloon parade, and every balloon is an iconic diva.
Yes, of course. Actually, you know what it is, though? The nationality floats. So they'll have, like, delegates from different nations will do, like, cultural shows for everybody. It'll be like 40 people on a grid just like doing like a dance.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, okay, yes. Like that's what I want.
Okay, yes.
Okay, yes.
I'm like, okay, yes.
Like Mexico last year like had an incredible fucking thing.
Yeah.
And like, God, I find the cultural ones to be like.
So you are like narrating the parade.
I'm at the grandstand and I'm announcing the floats as they come by.
Yes,
that's very fun.
Like, will you shout me out when the other two?
I will shout you out when the other two
float
goes by. I don't go on until like 3 p.m. So not in the morning, but in the afternoon.
So the more respectable hour, but
the more
tail
respectable.
End.
Yeah, but the tail end, it's chill. It's
you'll
mellow.
Get to sleep in after the big party we're going to on Saturday.
I know. Wow. I need to sleep in tonight. I don't think I'm gonna go out tonight.
I am.
That's respectable.
Where are you gonna go? Horse meat.
Horse meat.
What's horse meat?
I don't have tickets.
I got an extra ticket.
Okay, we'll have fun.
I'm not even cool.
No, you are. Go to horse meat.
No, I didn't say I had an extra ticket. I said someone gave me. I didn't have tickets.
That's great. Perfect.
But anyway.
Wow.
Everyone's just cool. I get it.
No.
I'm an elder.
You're 3 hours of sleep. Maybe you should take tonight off.
I might take tonight off.
I'm an aging queen.
Come to
this
thing tomorrow. We'll give you the info.
Okay.
I thought you were leaving town today.
Yeah, we thought you were leaving.
No, I'm just busy next week.
Okay, bitch.
Okay, bitch. Okay, you don't have to be such a bitch.
Did you not hear all my credits?
You know what, Solomon? You don't have to be such a white bitch.
I would like to give a quick RIP to Matt.
He's the one who said it.
The both of you combined. If I ever be called white again, if any of your fans show up on my feeds, call me a bitch all you like, but you call me white, you die tonight.
You call me white, you die tonight. It's actually rule of culture number 93. You call me white, you die tonight. Solomon's tour, Diva, starts on July 5th in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, honey. If that's not topical for you, shove it up your ass.
And new and future home to Marianne Williamson herself.
President Marianne Williamson. And if you don't like that, girlfriend,
you are so
home.
You are so home.
We finish every episode with a song. And actually, before we do, I forgot to tell you I'm mad at you.
Me?
Because you don't think this is the song of the summer.
What song? Come on, go.
What song? 2 years and just like that. My sister texts me back. Thought it was done, but I guess it's never really over. Just because it's over doesn't mean it's really over. And if I think of it, maybe you'll become a number again. Enough to get over you all over again. Just because it's over doesn't mean it's really over.
The music video is fine.
It's really good, and it's actually appropriating white woman culture instead of all the other racial culture that she usually appropriates. So this is a big step forward for Katie, aka the Marianne Williamson of pop. Bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production.
executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.